Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy, evening TV. Did I get delivered here? Somebody tell me, please. This old world.
'90s TV theme songs is your artist of the day. I believe that one was from one of the worst shows of all time. That, I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that show's pretty cheesy.
Couple things as we wrap up our conversation about the Jeffrey Epstein thing. Staffing shortfalls have to be part of this conversation, regardless of how this happened. Because, and I don't know if you heard this today, Scott, a person who is familiar with what's going on in this particular prison said that a guard in Epstein's unit was working a fifth straight day of overtime. Yeah, yeah. And another guard was working mandatory overtime the day he was found. And I don't know, is it hard to find people to work these jobs because it's scary work? Is it because the wages are low? What is it?
You're probably, keep in mind, the jail is in Lower Manhattan, one of the ritziest, most expensive places.
Right.
So nobody who works as a guard there lives there. Okay. They probably live in Queens. They live in Brooklyn. They live in the Bronx. So, or they live in Jersey. So they have to get to the jail. Okay. To work a job that pays them what? $15, $16, $17 an hour.
To work a job if there are staffing issues, and I believe that there are, makes your job inherently more dangerous.
Let's go to Kathy on line 4. Kathy, hello.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, this is Kathy Lina Weaver.
Hi, thank you for calling in.
You're gonna regret giving your full name, but okay.
What can you tell us? How long were you a warden?
I worked for the Bureau of Prisons for almost 25 years. I was a warden at two facilities, and I was a warden at MCC New York for about 16 months.
Okay.
Tell us about MCC New York, which is in Lower Manhattan, which is where this occurred.
I was listening to your preview prior to bringing me in on the conversation, and you are correct. People do not live in Lower Manhattan. Everyone commutes in. The Federal Bureau of Prisons owns a housing establishment called Dayton Manor in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and it provides housing for staff for the MCC and for also the detention center in Brooklyn for those people who would like to take advantage of a reduced cost in living. But it is a commute, and that is, you know, something that is significant, but it's not out of the ordinary. You know, the biggest thing that you mentioned was the staff shortage. And I want to take you back in history just a little bit so that you understand why all of a sudden we have a staff shortage. In the year 1990, the Bureau of Prisons hired more staff in one year than they have to date because of the number of prisons that were being built and the staffing requirements. And in the Bureau of Prisons, we're part of federal law enforcement, which has a mandatory retirement age of 57. It has a eligible retirement of 20 years. And if you've done 25 years, you can retire at any age. So I don't have to tell you guys to do the math. All of those people are either gone or they're leaving in mass exodus.
Yeah.
And it is very, very difficult to fill in behind them at the rate that we need to be able to do so, whether it's not the funding by the federal government or whether it's not the desire to work in corrections, I am not certain. Now, you did misquote, and I am going to correct you, that the rate of salary for a Federal Bureau of Prisons correctional officer is way above what you're quoting. You're quoting the rates of a state or a private facility. The federal government pays very well, and the benefit package is, I could go on for 20 minutes about what.
Well, please don't, but what would be the hourly rate for a federal prison corrections officer?
I've been retired for 5 years, and I know that it has gone up with the cost of living, so I won't quote that. I don't want to be misquoted, but that's public information that anybody can find if they go to the OPM website and they research law enforcement and the cost of living and allowance for New York, and it's all that information is right
there. Kathy, if the wages are so good, if the wages are so good, why is there such an issue backfilling those people who are retiring, all of those positions? Mm.
You know, that begs the question of are we recruiting people to go into corrections? Since I've retired, I became an adjunct professor at the Wichita State University Department of Criminal Justice, and I teach corrections. And I try to recruit people into corrections. I learned very quickly they are taking my class because it's mandatory. They have no desire to work in corrections. They want to become an FBI agent. They've watched Criminal Minds for the last 9 years. They want to be a profiler, which, quite honestly, the job doesn't even exist. And so there's a lot of problems with that.
Let me ask you a couple quick questions because we're short on time, Kathy, and I want to get as much information out of you as we can with the limited amount of time that we have. Jeffrey Epstein allegedly tried to commit suicide 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
Would you, as the warden at MCC in Lower Manhattan, have taken him off suicide watch after 2 weeks?
If my chief psychologist said that the imminent threat was over, absolutely. It's not the warden's decision. You rely on your subject matter experts to guide you. I'm not the one who's gone to school and had the training and done all the interviews and knows how to do that. And if I overstep my chief psychologist because of my rank, I'm more likely to get somebody killed than not. If it is the decision of the chief psychologist, they have wonderful psychologists at that facility. I work with them enough to know that they made the right decision. And you have to remember, pre-trial inmates are the most vulnerable for suicide. Particularly if they are of advanced age and they're looking at substantial sentences that will make them basically do life inside of a correctional facility, and because of their crime, without the ability to go to general population, which Epstein fits all of those criteria, he was a risk. He probably didn't adjust well when he went there. That's why he was put on suicide watch.
Kathy, last question. Were you surprised to hear about his death? That's number one. And part two, who is at fault here, if anyone?
If he would have been any other inmate named John Smith, we wouldn't be having this conversation. No one would have paid attention. That's what happens in corrections. Society washes their hands, and they forget about everything that's going on inside of prisons. That's the only reason we're talking about this today. Is there someone at fault? I don't know. That's why we have an investigation. That's why we have after-action reviews. I can tell you that you get the Office of the Inspector General involved, and they do a very thorough research. If staff didn't do their job, they will be held accountable. But what people need to do is lay off of the conspiracy theory, imagination run rampant, and let the facts come out as they may.
Kathy, it's a fair point, and we have less than a minute. He is not John Smith. He was not accused of some trivial crime. This was one of the wealthiest men in America who had friends who are some of the most high-profile and most powerful political characters in America, and he had the goods on them. That's what I think changes this story.
Well, I had number three in the Sinaloa cartel in my custody as warden at MCC Chicago. He had the same financial ability that this man did to effectuate an escape. So you kept them in special housing just like you did Jeffrey Epstein. keeping them in special housing unit is completely separate than if they want to kill themselves, they will find a way. And he was elderly. He was looking at a different lifestyle that he could not control. He was looking at a high-profile trial. But he did not make that known to staff. He internalized it all, or else I tell you, he would have been on suicide watch.
All right, Kathy, always good to hear you. Thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
All right.
Have a good rest.
You take care. 576-7798. The wheel in the sky keeps on turning. I do have to laugh. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. Somebody writes in, Scott, I am no conspiracy nut. This is from 3435. But isn't it odd that the former warden of this very facility happens to live here and listens to you?
We didn't get a chance to ask her, like, where are you listening from?
She was a teacher at Wichita State.
Yes. Yes, which I love, but I also, just because, you know, the reporter in me wants to ask her, like, why are you here when you were there? I mean, that's crazy job.
Her friend called and said, my friend is the warden, or was the warden. Okay. Do you want me to have her call in? And I said, dear God, please, yes.
Yes.
But we're also getting this one. Oh, so now the former head of that prison is calling radio stations and denouncing conspiracies. Okay. Bernie in Merriam. Hello, Bernie.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you.
Good. I worked correction for about 23 years locally. And my last 16 years, I worked in an area. It's called classification. So we talk to everybody that comes in and find out where to put them in a facility. And we have so if somebody tells me they're on a suicide watch, you know, there's a protocol we follow. They are put in what we call a pickle. It's like a blanket with Velcro on it. We take them up to our special management unit, and they're placed on a 15-minute watch, and they are put out in front of the officer's desk. They're laying on a, we call them boats, but they're things that go right on the floor with a mattress in it, and the only thing they had was what they were wearing and a suicide protocol blanket. And they stayed on suicide in that area till mental health cleared them. And
you ever lose anybody?
Well, as a matter of fact, probably about 2 or 3 years before I retired, I went up and talked to a gentleman. He told me he was suicidal. I finished the interview. I went into his cell, gave him his paper uniform, took everything else from him. I went out to the desk, told the officer he's on watch. Went downstairs. 30 minutes later, they called it's a certain code. And the gentleman, and this was the last time we'd used paper uniforms, was this one. He had tied, it was either the pants or the shirt, I can't remember. And on the desk, there's a little bracket where you could hang your towel. And he tied it around his neck, and they said his rear end was about 3 or 4 inches off the floor. And the officer did. He conducted this first 15 minutes, went back the next 15, and found him dead.
Oh.
How are we doing?
Yeah.
Well, that stinks. Somebody writes in, and here come the conspiracy theories. Seriously, guys, Epstein and Bill Clinton were friends.
So was Epstein and Trump.
I was just going to say that. So was Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump. I need not remind you of the interview that Donald Trump did where he said, I like women, he likes women like I do, but he likes his women a little younger. Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein were friends.
If the Clintons had as much power as the internet thinks they did, don't you think Hillary Clinton would be in the White House and Monica Lewinsky would be dead?
That'd be a great point. Yeah. If the Clintons had half the power you think they have, that's a really good point. Hillary Clinton would be the president of the United States. She is not. I mean, it is just, it is remarkable. I do believe there's more to this story than we know. I think a lot of high-profile, powerful men are going to fall. But my goodness, this conspiracy theory that the Clintons were the ones who were involved and killed this man is really, that's a stretch for me. I don't know who did it. I don't know if anyone did it. I do know that a lot of people are breathing a sigh of relief today that he's dead. But boy, oh boy. It's got to be Bill Clinton. It's got to be Hillary Clinton.
I will say this.
Vince Foster.
Anyone who facilitated those crimes in any way should go to prison. And I will be angry if all of that dies with him. And I don't think it will because they look so bad right now, just the optics of this.
Sure.
It's just so bad.
Sure.
If you were connected in any way, they're going to come after you because they need to hang this on somebody.
576-7798.
That was a poor choice of words.
Phrasing.
Ooh, that was a bad choice of words on your part, wasn't it? They're going to hang it somewhere?
They need to pin this on someone. And should. Anyone that was involved at all should go to prison in this case. There.
Whoever was behind this, I bet, has a long rap right. sheet.
That's okay. That's great. Very superstitious.
Stevie Wonder. He's one of the greats. Telephone number here is 576-7798. Story here from the Sun newspapers. A mom who asked parents to pay $82 for their children to attend her son's birthday party is now being slammed online.
Gee, I wonder why.
Taking to Mumsnet. User Fur Coat No Sneakers revealed that her teen...
Oh, Fur Coat No Sneakers. Gotcha.
No Snickers, sorry. Right. No Snickers. Revealed that her teen had been invited to a go-karting party for a 14-year-old friend. But she was reluctant to send him following the mom's demand. Dees is at a newish school. He was so happy to have been invited to a go-kart party, birthday party. Turns out the whole class was invited. Details were the date, the activity transport provided. It is an 80-mile round trip and a request of Amazon vouchers for a present.
Oh!
In the last few weeks, since school let out, I've been updated with further texts from the mother of the birthday boy asking for deposits for the go-karting, $23, and the remainder of the day, $36. Then that was followed by a request for another $23 for transportation. This morning, she, the mom, in my opinion, has the gall to request that we pack a generous picnic.
Of course.
With ice packs and packs extra so the birthday boy doesn't have to bring anything for himself.
We're providing lunch now, too.
She explained that she was in a dilemma. She worried this was a good opportunity for her son to make friends mm-hmm. in his new school. Okay.
Okay. So my youngest went to a birthday party. I had so much fun on Thursday. Happened to be at Worlds of Fun. Four or five little buddies went. I sent him specifically with $40 that day, Scott, because I knew the mom and dad had sprung for the tickets, which are not cheap. If you're taking six kids plus an adult, I knew that that was not cheap. And if you want to buy a soda or a souvenir or lunch, that is expensive. And so I sent him with two 20s and said, look, this is for your extra stuff because I don't expect the mom and dad to, you know,
pay for this whole day.
I mean, they were there like, you remember at that age, you would go for like 9 hours and not mm-hmm. think a thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
That is different.
Unless you were the parent and then you just
And the other parents do that and reciprocate that all the time with us as well. That is different than saying, hey, is your son available to go to this party? And then you reply yes. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, you start Apple request paying them for go-kart fees, transportation fees. It's you just don't do that. Now, you could say up front, we're planning on doing this. If the boys sound like this is something they'd want to do. It's a little pricey. If everyone wouldn't mind kicking in 10 bucks, that'd be great, just to cover snacks. That's one thing. Mm. But to itemize list all of the different amounts of money you're going to need to pull off the party that you came up with. Like, the mom came up with this idea and had to have known it was expensive.
Mm-hmm. Go-karting 80 miles away? That's like...
Well, round trip. It would be from here to Lawrence and back, essentially. And so she probably hired... It says transport... Activity transport provided. Whatever that means.
Activity?
It's just...
The activity
form.
Is your son's birthday party.
If you are throwing the party, the onus is on you to pay for the party. Tell me I'm wrong.
You are not wrong. And...
Unless up front... You say, look, we're thinking about doing this. Tickets are kind of expensive. Would anyone mind just kicking in 10 bucks for snacks? Or we're all going to go to a movie.
Well, then where do you... Well, first of all, a movie's not very expensive.
I know.
That's 10 bucks.
I know.
You know, granted, how many kids are you going to invite? You know, are you going to invite 30 kids from school? Well, now you're looking at $300. But if you invite 30 kids from school, you're a moron. Where do you draw the line, Dana, on, okay, we're having a birthday party... And we're all going to the local pool, okay? We don't have a neighborhood pool.
Right.
We just have the local pool. Well, it's going to be $5 to get in. Everybody's going to want to eat at some point. And so we've invited the entire class. Well, the entire class is 30 kids.
Right.
So it's $150 just to get into the pool. I don't have $150
just to throw out the door. I don't have a problem if you're inviting the entire class. I don't have a problem... reaching out in that group text or email and saying, if everyone wouldn't mind, just send $5 with your kids in case they want a soda.
Why do you invite the whole class? Why don't you just invite your friends? Oh, you're not friends with the whole class.
That is a good topic for discussion. Did your mom used to not make you invite?
No.
Okay. Friends
invited-
of hers, kids.
No, I invited Paul Weyrich, Todd McLeod.
But she wouldn't say, now you invite, they are a neighbor, you are going to invite her.
No.
I think there are a lot of parents who do that.
Now, she would say, that kid's dad is a one-star general. His ass better be at the party.
Well, there you go. And what if you said, well, that kid's a jerk. I don't like that kid. Did you have to invite everybody, Will, growing up to your parties?
You know, it's weird. I didn't really have birthday parties.
Will?
My parents, from the age of like 5 on, gave me the option of, okay, we'll have a birthday party or a gift, but not both. So if we're going to pay for a birthday party for you, we're not going to get you a gift. And vice versa. So I just, because I was already, I don't know, antisocial, I just was like, fine.
You
give
chose
me a gift.
The gift.
Yeah.
Did you not have,
No, you're good.
Did you not have a lot of friends growing up?
I had some, not a ton, not to the point where I wanted to get a party together. Mm-hmm. I've never been much on birthdays, though. Even when I was a kid, I was not
See,
all that.
Chris is like that. It drives me crazy. He'll go, just another day. I'm like, we start celebrating the 1st of April, and might roll into
You celebrate
May.
The whole month. Every
it's the
April.
Birth month.
Who doesn't love your birthday month?
Have you not been around here for an April yet? Oh, you're in for
yeah,
a treat.
I have.
Gift
I've been
keeps
here
on
for
giving.
An April.
Oh,
no, it's
I've
a gift
here.
You want to keep
oh,
giving.
Come on.
Who are you kidding? It's 6 months.
I love birthdays.
When it's my birthday, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm another year old. It's nice. And I would hope people remember and give me a card, maybe take me out to dinner. I don't celebrate the entire month of June.
Do you enjoy reading the Facebook notifications when you wake up in the morning and you have 400 of them saying
no,
happy birthday?
No, that is Facebook giving you homework for your birthday.
That's right.
No, it is not.
Yes, it
absolutely is.
Is.
I never send a happy birthday on Facebook Ooh. Because I feel like it is borderline insensitive.
I don't do HBD. I'm like, you can't even bother yourself to type out happy birthday to me. I'm just getting an HBD.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, you do need to do it properly.
Well,
and
the reality
I like
is,
adding a sentence like, happy birthday, Sam. I am so glad that I get to see you every day.
The reality is, though, how many people who comment on your Facebook page actually knew it was your birthday, or did they just get the notification?
Wait.
Like this, zero.
Wait, hang on, guys. This just came in on the text line. I work at a local school. It is the school rule that if you invite one from the class, you have to invite all.
That was my school's rule, too.
I don't personally agree with it, but it is the rule. Now, wait a minute. What if I don't hand out my invite in class?
I was going to say, I'm betting anything that's a case of handing out the invites at school. If you're handing out the invites at school, you do have to invite the whole class. I'm betting anything that that's what the policy is.
I remember when I was growing up, and I can distinctly remember for whatever reason, my 12th birthday party was at the Officers Club swimming pool at Fort Hood. And I invited just my friends from the neighborhood. I didn't invite my entire sixth grade class.
You don't remember just the drama over passing out those invitations, which I bet you today does not happen. It's a very discreet evite. You're not going in and passing out. You get one and you don't. And you get one and you are not coming to my party. And you get, can you imagine that today?
No.
We did. And when I was back in the day, they were actual card invitations that people would pass out. Usually the parties in Topeka were at Burger King. Not gonna lie.
Burger King?
That's where we had them.
Well, yeah, you get the little paper crown.
Yes.
McDonald's did that back in the day.
And we would play a game.
Yeah, they did.
And the game was drop the straw into the cup on the ground.
I did one time have a McDonald's birthday party, and that was off the chain. I had Grimace on my cake. Yeah.
I would call that off the chain.
When you're 5 years old, that's off the chain.
I'll give you that.
What?
If Grimace came, that would be cool.
Did you have any, like, people show up in, like, costumes or anything?
No.
What was Grimace exactly?
Just a big purple thing.
Yeah, like kind of like the Cookie Monster.
Looked like a walking mushroom.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know what he was supposed to be. You're asking, like, what type of being is Grimace?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Here's the party that was cool, though, when we were a kid, is when you went to the arcade.
Yeah.
That's the cool birthday party. You play, like, Galaga and Defender.
He's described as just a monster, by the way, Grimace is. I guess kind of a friendly
one. So Ronald McDonald's a clown, that's pretty clear, and the majority of the remaining characters seem to have at least a passing resemblance or relation to McDonald's food. The Hamburglar's a thief that steals Hamburglars, Birdie's a giant bird, etc. And then this article says, what the blank is Grimace?
It's a monster, but not a very scary one.
Text line says it was a purple blob that happened to like milkshakes.
Okay, yeah, this says he liked milkshakes, okay. It's like a big eggplant.
Wow.
Big angry.
1723. Thank you for the laugh. I cannot read that on the air.
Oh, no way. 1492. I was the clown for McDonald's birthday parties for several years.
No.
It was interesting. God, I bet it was.
5767798. Should a student be required to invite the entire class? Or is this just political correctness gone amok? I don't want you at my birthday party. You know why? You're a bully. You're a jerk. I hate you. Or I've never said a word to you. Why would I invite you to my birthday party?
From the text line, I'm now 22. I gave out paper invitations in an envelope all fancy and handed them out like golden tickets from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
5767798.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My. Music hits me so hard. Makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you.
With a mind to rhyme and what? Two white teeth?
No one even knows. It's fabulous. Just go with it. Just go with whatever words
Thank
come
you,
out of your
Lord,
mouth.
For a mind to rhyme and two white teeth.
Two hype feet.
Oh, two hype feet.
Or white teeth versus no teeth or brown cigarette stained teeth.
Many more than two white teeth, hopefully.
With a mind to rhyme and two hype feet.
Yeah.
And you make fun of me that I make up my own lyrics.
Yeah. Cinnamon gum. Amy in Independence. Hello, Amy.
Hi, guys. I love my show.
Oh, thank you for letting us host it.
Thank you. So I was calling about the birthday parties and having to hand out invitations to the entire class. Mm. The one thing, hold on, buddy, that's nice about it is you get to meet your kids' bullies' parents finally.
Oh!
Because the school won't let you talk to them and they can't tell you the kid's name, but your kid, you know, is telling you what's going on. So you hand out the invitations, the bully comes to your house, and you confront their mom and say, hey, we need to talk.
But after the party, not before, because you don't want to make a scene before.
Right.
Do you punch
her? Honestly, I have. And it helped out a lot.
You have done this for real, Amy?
I have.
And what did you say?
I just went up to her and I was like, hey, it seems that my son and yours are having some issues at school. And as far as I know, it's not getting resolved. How can me and you fix this?
Okay.
And the mom had no clue because the school didn't say anything to her.
Yeah.
I thought they were supposed to. I thought that if bullying was supposed to be reported to the office and then the student would be spoken with and the parents would be spoken with, is that not true?
That's what's supposed to happen, but it didn't. And the sad thing is, not only was it happening at school, but it was happening on the school bus for my son. And this child was spitting in my kid's face.
Oh, gross. Now, did you part ways with do you think, did it get better? Did she say, I will handle this?
She did. And actually, our boys are really good friends now.
Wow. Amy, good for you. I'm finally glad to hear about a good ending with one of these bullying stories.
Yeah.
Did you want to punch her just a little bit, but not really?
You know, at first I did, but coming to find out that the school hadn't talked to her and that they were trying to handle it on their own made me more irritated with the school than it did with that parent.
Amy, good call. Good glad to have you on.
Thank you.
All right, you take care and take care of that kid in the backseat.
Look at David. What?
David, we got 30 seconds. Can you do it?
Yeah, let's go.
Go.
Dana, congratulations on your hole-in-one.
Thank you.
And real quick, when I was a kid, I'm 42 now, when I was a kid, the place to go was Chuck E. Cheese, Showbiz.
Yeah.
And second grade, we invited everybody, and the second thing was I got to dress up as a Grimace when I worked at McDonald's for a couple of parties.
You got to dress up as Grimace.
Yeah, and I smashed the teacher against the wall because I couldn't see because I was so fat in the costume. The class went wild, and I was like, why is everybody laughing? So I had to look out of the cloudy eyes, and the teacher was pressed against the wall in between Grimace.
What do you think Grimace was, David?
I don't know. A monster?
Okay.
What's stuff they're saying on the text line?
It's a monster when you whacked your teacher in the head.
It was a plug of some fashion.
Not a very intimidating monster, that's for sure.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.